You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Big banks are back in the mortgage-backed securities business. 10 years ago, missteps in that business helped trigger the financial crisis, and bankruptcies rampant not only on Wall Street, but Main Street as well. In a moment, we'll find out what's different this time around. First, some money and market news you should know. The Association of American Medical Colleges says that students who graduate from medical school have a median debt of roughly $200,000, and about 70% of medical school students graduated with debt in 2017. New York City's Weill Cornell Medicine is addressing that by increasing its scholarship offerings by $160 million to eliminate education debt for students who can prove financial need. Currently, about a third of students are able to fully pay for school. Mount Sinai, also in New York, recently restructured its scholarship program so students don't graduate with more than $75,000 in debt. And New York University covers tuition for all its medical students, regardless of financial need.
You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan Chase are getting back into the mortgage bond business. That's when banks pool mortgages and turn them into securities. That may ring alarm bells for some. Remember, those are the same kind of bonds that were at the center of the 2008 financial crisis. They pushed big banks into bankruptcy, and a lot of Americans along with them. Investment banks have stayed away from the mortgage bond business since then, but not anymore. So what's different this time? Let's bring in Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen for some answers. So, Ben, just explain for us how this works. The bank buys a mortgage and then turns around and sells it to an investor?
Yeah, so when you get a mortgage, if you are buying a home, you might get it from a lender, but that lender doesn't necessarily hold on to it and kind of keep it on their books for the life of the loan. What they might do is they might take a pool of mortgages and sell them. And for the most part, those mortgages have been sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are government-sponsored enterprises. Not only do they buy them and package them into securities that they sell to and get investors, but they guarantee payment on those mortgages. And those have traditionally been very safe investments because the government is sort of seen to stand behind the mortgage borrowers and the investors will get paid if anything goes wrong. Now what we're seeing is you're seeing some of these mortgages are instead going into what's called the private label market, which is not government-backed. Instead of Fannie and Freddie buying the loans, you have other institutions buying and packaging the loans and selling them to investors. And what's new now is you're seeing banks start to get back into this business. Banks had been big in it before the financial crisis, but had really stepped out of it for about a decade since, until just about the last year or so, they've kind of gotten back into the business.
Saying that the nation's biggest banks got burned by these bonds is an understatement. Why are they getting back into this market?
Well, it's important to note they got burned by these bonds over a decade ago. And in the years since then, there have been a lot of changes to the mortgage market, both in terms of who's making the mortgages and how they're packaged and sold to investors. And now we've sort of gotten to a point where the crisis has sort of gotten far enough into the rearview mirror that banks are starting to feel comfortable making these mortgage bonds again.
How large is the bank's role in this compared to 10 years ago?
It's tiny. It's minuscule. Whereas the so-called private label mortgage bond market was over $1 trillion annually at its peak, last year it was about $70 billion. So it's a lot smaller, but that said, it's growing. So it's something that the folks who are making these mortgage bonds are starting to feel more comfortable doing them again.
But are they being more diligent, or are there changes this time in how they buy and sell mortgage loans?
Banks have been very careful about this so far. When banks kind of, what they do is they decide what mortgages they want to go into these bond deals. And so far, they've been choosing bonds that, or they've been choosing mortgages that tend to be pretty safe. These are not the kind of subprime mortgages, for the most part, that you had in huge quantities before the financial crisis. These are better quality loans. Often they're going into these bonds because they're too big to be sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, which is sort of where they would otherwise go. Or they just have some sort of alternative documentation of the borrower's income. So far, they've been pretty careful. I think what's important to watch is not necessarily what's going on now, but does the pendulum start to swing? You know, in the last cycle, the banks were very careful at the beginning, but they loosened up, and over time, they got worse and worse at this. And you know, as the volume and quantity of these bond deals became bigger and bigger, that's when standards started to slip. So we haven't seen that yet, but it's to be determined if that happens down the line.
Now, the Trump administration wants to reduce the role of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the housing finance sector. Will that impact how banks buy and sell these bonds going forward?
So, what the Trump administration wants to do is, first of all, they want to take them out of government control and privatize them. But whether or not that happens, they're sort of making the case that Fannie and Freddie should not be doing as much business as they do now, that their role should shrink. And what that means effectively is that there are a lot of types of loans that they buy that maybe they don't need to, such as loans made for investor properties, or when someone buys a second home, or if they're getting a refinance where they take cash out. These are all sort of seen as ancillary to the mission of Fannie and Freddie of kind of helping insure and promote home ownership. So if all of that moves out of Fannie and Freddie's purview, there's a sense that, well, the private market, the banks, and the other institutions that make private label securities could instead be doing that business. So that's the opportunity that they kind of see on the horizon here.
I would think for a lot of consumers, they're taking a very wary eye to this, because when the banking sector nearly collapsed a decade ago, a lot of people were left not knowing who owned their mortgage. And are there safeguards in place now to protect homeowners and make sure their home is safe?
Well, I think the biggest change since the crisis is that you have a lot of regulations around how a loan is made. So that has nothing to do with the investor themselves, but that has to do with the lender. So when you go into, well, maybe it's a bank branch, or maybe it's an independent lender, they have a lot more requirements around ensuring that you can pay the loan when you take it out. So that is sort of what's seen as, I think, a lot of the improvement that's made in terms of making sure we don't end up in a similar situation this time.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen here in our studio. Ben, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And homeownership is the way that many Americans create equity. It's a major building block in their nest egg. But how do money moves now impact your nest egg down the line and along many milestones in your life? You can find out by playing the Nest Egg Game, a new feature on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.